Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Monday, and a decidedly not victory Monday at that, a day after the Packers bow out in the wild card round to the Philadelphia Eagles. The wounds still fresh, and I got to be honest, usually this day after the game, I do a pretty deep dive into the coach's tape after watching the broadcast back and watching the condensed version back, and I make notes, and I go back, and I go, well, what was the coverage there? And I do kind of like my process each and every week. And I got to admit, didn't do a whole lot of that today. I really, really spent the day. I did watch the game back one time, and that was about it. I'm still in the process of grieving, I guess you'd say, for the 2024 Green Bay Packers, a season that began with a lot of hope and a lot of promise. And certainly there were indications along the way that this was a team that could continue to get better and hit the ground running in the playoffs and hopefully continue to improve on a lot of the promise and potential we saw back in 2023. But as we all know how the season played out, certainly wasn't the case. This is a team that did have a stretch where you thought, okay, it looks like they're about to get going. But then they came kind of rumbling back to earth, especially after clinching a playoff spot and having a couple of games that were really not of consequence. Team really seemed to lose its focus, really seemed to lose any kind of fight that we had seen at times throughout the 2024 season. And now we're left in the smoldering ruins of another Packers attempt at making a Super Bowl run to piece things together as they go forward into the offseason and figure out what they will do with their own free agents, what they'll do in free agency, what they'll do in the draft to try and put together another roster that can hit the ground running in 2025 and try to get this team and this franchise back to the Super Bowl. And yeah, I do think this is a team that can take that next step if given the right ingredients this offseason by Brian Gutekunst and company, that can take that step and not only challenge for and win the division next year, but make a run at a title. And that is what it's about. It is title town. And I did want to address something real quick that I did see pop up both on the Spotify comments, getting Spotify comments now. Thanks to everybody who listens on Spotify. And I got a comment on Facebook, which of course, Facebook, no surprise there, alluding to the title of this podcast being Excuses Daily. The Excuses Daily podcast. Look, people, no one's here trying to make any kind of excuses for anything or anybody when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. I've been watching the Packers for decades, plural, all of my life since I was 3 years old. My oldest memory in life is watching the Green Bay Packers with my grandfather. So I've just been doing it my whole life, and I've seen a whole lot. I've been through some shit, people. I've been hurt, and I felt joy. So when I talk about the Packers and what I think is transpiring with them, either in that game or in a season or, say, in a franchise-altering move to trade a veteran all-star quarterback and turn the page to a younger one, I've seen rhythms and I've seen things, to quote George Lucas, it's poetry. It rhymes. I'm not saying this to excuse anything. I'm just trying to tell you what, through my many years of experience of watching this shit, what I feel like is happening, both in front of our eyes and behind the scenes. No one's here to make any excuses. And I literally said in the podcast last night, Jordan Love had a bad game, needs to play better. Matt LaFleur needs to figure it out when it comes to the passing game, needs to help his quarterback back a whole hell of a lot more. Those don't sound like excuses to me. So, look, if you're looking for a hot take merchant, you've come to the wrong place. There are plenty of hot take folks out there for you guys to gravitate to if that is your choice. You're never going to find that here. You're never going to hear me ranting and raving about how Matt LaFleur needs to be fired or Jordan Love is mid or any of the nonsense that floods the internet day after day after day. And I understand part of that is being a Packers content creator. You got to live in the soup, as it were. But I am not going to contribute to it. I'm not putting my salt in there. I am a fan, and I do hurt, and I do think it sucks that they blew another opportunity at trying to go and win a championship. Don't pretend like I don't, like, hurt for that. because I do. It consumes every thought in my being for like years and months, and to the detriment of much that goes on around me in my life. But when I'm here talking to you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, I'm trying to give you perspective. That's all I'm ever trying to do. So just wanted to get that out of the way. It's been in my head all day, and it's been kind of bugging the shit out of me. So cheers to you all who do come here in good faith and engage in a somewhat positive or productive manner. And I don't need you to be positive all the time, but the people who argue in good faith, I appreciate you. And the rest of you who are here sometimes to talk about whatever nonsense, negativity that you have to get off your chest, I appreciate the engagement, but I'm probably not going to engage with you, if that makes sense. Hello, everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody. We got a bunch of questions already lined up. Before we get going, let me give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Use the link in the description of this video. Big game coming up tonight. Big hate watch game. You know, this is an important game, folks. It's an important game tonight between the Rams and the Vikings, because if and when the Rams win, you heard me, we can spend the whole offseason, whenever Vikings fans try to give you crap about, oh, well, you beat you twice and well, you lost in the playoffs. And it's like, yes. And after all of that, your season lasted a whole 24 hours longer than the Packers. Well done. Ultimate hate watch, people. Ultimate hate watch tonight. Can't wait. All right, let's get to your questions and comments. What's going on here? We got Vex starting us off. What's up, man? This roster needs impact players, and Goot hasn't delivered. Yet he finds great O-line depth late, but the best Packers in 2024 weren't drafted by Goot. I don't know if I agree with that last sentiment, but you are right that they definitely need game breakers and or game changers. There's no doubt about that. But you're saying Edgerrin Cooper wasn't one of the best Packers in 2024? Certainly was, and was drafted by Goot. I just love these all-encompassing criticisms that don't take any kind of contextual view of what they're criticizing. But hey, I'm sure that felt good to get off your chest. Keith, what's going on, man? Tom Silverstein said LaFleur never figured out how to marry the new run game with Jacobs with the pass game. Thoughts, Keith? I read his piece this morning. I read everything Tom puts out. I think he's one of the best in the business. And yeah, I think he's on point. You could kind of tell. It is kind of funny in, you know, post-game situations when beat members are asking questions, especially with the folks who work with the written word, let's say. You can often tell, okay, this is their idea for the column they're going to write or the piece they're going to write. And you could certainly tell that's what Tom was getting at last night in the postgame presser. But I don't think he's off base, right? I think 100% you look at what the offense did this year and how it ran through Josh Jacobs. Well, that was very successful. But they never found any kind of consistency or success working off the running game with Jordan Love and the receivers. And now some of that, you know, is Jordan got hurt. The receivers were inconsistent. Depending on who you're looking at, they led the league in drops. So there's, you know, problems with personnel there. And I think that goes to Vex's point. You need some game breakers, right? You need consistent game breakers. And to me, that's where when people try to dismiss the youngest team in the league thing. Yes, it sounds like an excuse and it gets tired hearing it again and again and again, but that is one of the reasons you see problems like that persist, because they are young. That means they're not, they haven't become consistent yet and they need to get there. They're that excuse, quote unquote, pretty much over entering year three of this core. And if you're not able to do it consistently, they're going to find someone else who can. And I think that's what part of this offseason is going to be about, both in free agency and the draft. They don't have time to wait around. They have got to take this next step in 2025. And that a big component of that is going to be improving the passing game, to which, Keith, to, you know, end on your question, yes, 100%, I agree with Tom. I think that was very noticeable throughout the season. And specifically noticeable down the last month or so, no doubt. Joel, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member, man. No matter what, still my team. That's what I love to hear, brother. Right there with you. David, thanks for the super chat. Thoughts on Nixon's comments today? For those of you who didn't see the quotes coming out of the end of year locker cleanout day, Keyshawn Nixon said he is, I don't want to misquote him. To paraphrase, he's somewhat tired of being the kick returner, doesn't want to do it anymore, won't be doing it next year because he's going to focus on being cornerback one. Well, I admire the gumption to say that he's going to be cornerback one. He certainly is at this moment, given Jair Alexander being injured and who knows what else in the future, possibly out the door. But I do think cornerback is going to see some significant attention over the offseason. Now, I'm sure Keyshawn will say, bring it on. I'm ready to compete, which is exactly the attitude you want. And I don't mind him kind of putting that out there, right? Like, I'm cornerback one. I want to be the guy. I love that attitude. He's going to have to fight for it, though. I don't think it's going to be handed to him. And as far as the returner thing, I mean, you could tell last night, the Eagles wanted him to return the football. I think that tells you all you need to know when it comes to his effectiveness as a returner in the new format. Nobody knew really what to expect when the rules all changed, and they thought, okay, maybe that gives him extra value, but it certainly never materialized that way. Certainly seemed to neuter any potential explosiveness in the return game that Nixon held. And I understand his saying, you know, feeling, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I also understand that, you know, coaches have a say here. And if they say, well, you're the returner, and unless we draft one or whatever, you're going to have to continue to do it, then it becomes a friction point. Maybe that's a conversation they'll have this offseason. But again, I like the attitude. Like, I want to focus on being the best corner, number one, etc. But I don't think it's a given. Adam, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member, man. It was a rough game last night, but I have a lot of faith in this team and feel a few upgrades away from having a real shot at it. Go Pack Go from Scotland. Go Pack Go from New York. I hope you're well, man. Like I said, I think now you've set the table, right, as far as trying to get to that next level and become a contender. They've certainly done pretty damn good work these first 2 years post Rodgers, but now it is time to take it up a notch, prune some fat, if you will, improve the overall floor, you know, talent floor level when it comes to the roster in particular, or roster in general, and some positions in particular. But yes, I think there's no doubt it's time to take that next step. Brad, thanks for engaging, man. This team is taking a step backwards. Ja wants out. Nixon wants out. Dobbs drama, etc. Love stinks. Love does stink, man. It can break a heart. Jordan Love doesn't stink. He played poorly last night. There's no doubt about that. And he had a disappointing, I think is fair, 2024. But he doesn't stink. Just because he had a bad game doesn't mean he's a bad player. He'll come back next year, hopefully healthy from the start of the season. And he'll look a lot better. I promise you that. But I understand the frustrations around the end of the season and all the things you're talking about. But that doesn't make the team in disarray. You know, they got lessons to learn from this season. They got moves to make in the offseason. They hit the ground running in 2025. Simatovich, what's up, man? Any revealing comments from the players today? I mean, what's probably the most revealing part was Jair Alexander refusing to meet with reporters, reportedly saying, now there's not a direct quote attached to this, but from what we read on Twitter, he indicated he didn't want to meet with reporters. He doesn't know if he's even going to be back next year. That's a, you know, line attributed to him, and that he didn't have anything good to say, so he didn't want to talk. Doesn't sound like a guy who's going to be around too much longer, is my kind of feeling there. Keith, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. You are a sum of your habits. Packers had too many bad habits to overcome. Bad habits won't get fixed in January. Wish they fixed them in September and October. Keith, that is apt. That is very good. You are sum of your habits. No question about it. And look, you certainly want to believe as a fan that, yep, you can maybe not flip the switch, right? But you can find that clean performance that you have avoided you all season. But realistically, yeah, they went into the off or the postseason stumbling over the same issues they had been stumbling over pretty much all season long. There was a bit of a reprieve there coming out of the bye week where it looked like they had cleaned some of that, if not all of it, up. But it all came back home to roost in the worst possible way the last three or four games. No doubt about it. Oh, I don't buy this for a second. Okay. Any thoughts, Amar? What's up, man? Any thoughts on Matt LaFleur losing the locker room based on comments by Kraft and Ja not speaking? Well, the Ja thing is its own thing, and it always will be. Jair is a very particular individual, which I love him for, but I don't think that reflects on any relationship between Matt LaFleur and the locker room. As for Kraft's comments, and then the video is available online on Twitter in particular if you guys want to find it. I'm not going to give you the paraphrased version, but Amar, I understand what you're saying. I think that's much more about the players being held accountable by each other. I don't think that's much to do with LaFleur. Remember, the locker room in the NFL is a very insular thing for the players themselves. It's not a extension of the coaching staff or the head coach. That is the meeting rooms and the practice field. But the locker room is their place. You know, it's rare when the coaches are in there and part of that scene. The locker room is about, you know, if you talk about losing the locker room, that can manifest itself maybe on the football field or maybe even on the practice field or meeting room. But in the locker room itself, I think Kraft's comments was much more about guys holding each other accountable. That's the way I read it. Alex, thanks for the super chat, man. The locker room needs veteran leadership on offense. Could be a free agent or someone like Jacobs holding young guys accountable. Thanks for all you do, Nags. Thank you, Alex. I mean, I think an addition or two probably wouldn't hurt, but you just mentioned Jacobs, right? That's a vet who's there and doing it. I do think you've got vets like Elgton Jenkins in the locker room that have been there and know what's expected, know what the standard is. It's always about, like, as fans sitting on the outside looking in, what we see, right? Just try to remember what we see. Like, Kraft's comments today are a perfect example. That's a maybe a crack open of a window into what is actually going on, but we never know on the outside ever. We know a fraction of what's going on, right? So when we say, well, there's no leaders, well, okay, to do like doing what? We have no idea who's doing what inside the locker room, on the practice field. Sure, we can see what's happening on game day, but I just think some of the, oh, there's nobody doing the rah-rah thing, so now we think there's a absence of leadership. It's not always that linear, right? You never know how guys are leading in the locker room, in meeting rooms, away from the media, away from the public's eye. That stuff is hard to quantify, and it's hard to really chastise either the players or the organization for when we just don't have the information, right? We're just not part of that mix. Raha, what's up, man? Think about where we were 2 years ago, old, declining, and in cap hell. We hit reset and did a 2-year rebuild and happened to make the playoffs both years. For me, expectations start now. I mean, I think that's a perfect way of looking at it. That's how I look at it. I know there are plenty of people on this earth who do not look at it that way. I've heard from many of them over the course of the last 24 hours. But yes, I totally agree. They came from a spot where they were clinging to the side of a cliff, desperate to try and get back to a Super Bowl with their aging superstar quarterback. And they ripped the Band-Aid off, went completely young, and in the process, found their quarterback, made the playoffs 2 years in a row. And now it's time to take that core and build on it and build for a championship. I don't know what to tell people who say that the Packers are failing or they don't care about winning, which is always the most hilarious one. But man, you want to go be a Saints fan, go be a Saints fan. Go look at what teams do when they try to keep doing what the Packers were doing as far as kicking the can for Aaron Rodgers. You want to go through what the Saints are going through? I sure don't. I'm very happy with the Packers' approach. Andrew Ware, what's up, man? The Higgins question last night was meant as genuine curiosity, not just a gut reaction. Would it be possible to hire an assistant head coach and not make them a coordinator over the Bisaccia experiment? Well, Andrew, you may be over the Bisaccia experiment, but I don't think Matt LaFleur is, and his opinion is the only one that matters. Now, maybe we get some inkling tomorrow in his end-of-year press conference, which is being held at 10 Eastern, 9 Central, for those of you playing at home. But I think he loves Bisaccia, and I think he values what he brings to the staff, to the sideline. I'd be very surprised if Bisaccia went anywhere. Jeff, what's going on, man? Not being Eeyore, but I got what I expected yesterday. Haven't been playing well. Philly is good. Psyched about defense. Matt LaFleur has to figure out how to marry smash mouth of Jacobs and the passing game. Man, you ain't lying about that last point, and I think that is the key next season, especially on offense, obviously, to figure out how to get Jordan Love in rhythm, being productive, working through a power running game. I mean, the year before, much of it was through the zone stuff, the boot stuff, off of zone action. All of that seemed to disappear this year. Certainly getting your superstar franchise quarterback in a rhythm and in a groove and productive while being able to feature your insanely talented back got to be a high priority this offseason. No question about it. Soder, what's going on? Speaking of Eeyores, it won't happen, but just a thought exercise. Packers get a call about Love's availability. Do they listen? What would the offer need to be? Soder, man, can we come back from La La Land? I'm not here to entertain or talk about hypotheticals that wouldn't happen in not even, I don't know, the most rabid fantasy football player's dream. No, they won't listen. He's their guy. Jordan Love is the dude. Going to be here for a number of years. Get behind him or get off the bandwagon. I don't know what else to tell you guys. Ian, what's up, man? Do you think DVOA is more reliable than the traditional stats? It always seems to better pass the eye test. Thanks for everything this season, Aaron. You do an incredible job and deserve all the success. Thank you, Ian. That's really kind of you. Always seems to better pass the eye test. You talk about DVOA for teams, for individuals. I mean, I have always said I very much prefer DVOA and Aaron Schatz's approach when it comes to analytics. Aaron wrote one of my favorite things ever, like 5-6 years ago when, I don't know, there was a whole kind of brewing somewhat of a rivalry between back then Football Outsiders and PFF, you know, and Aaron likes to say, you know, we like to admit that we don't know what we don't know, you know, and everything we do is coming from a place of trying to crystallize the picture. Right. And the fact that DVOA does a good job of taking into account competition, things of that nature, I think it's a useful guide. You know, no analytic, no metric is ever going to be gospel, nor should it be. But I do think DVOA is helpful as an analyst when you're looking at the game and looking at matchups and seeing how teams might be better or worse, or where you might be able to take advantage on one side or the other, or even just coming into the seasons, right? I think the almanac that Schatz and company produce each and every year does a phenomenal job of kind of pointing you in the right direction, so to speak. Now, nothing's infallible, nothing's perfect, but for all the analytics out there and the metrics and everything that everybody utilizes, I do think DVOA is worthwhile as a guidepost. Em, what's up, man? I'm not stupid, but I can't figure it out how last season explosive offense developed into this mess. So frustrating. Go Pack, go, and thanks for your work. Em, I hear you, man. Look, it's tough because you did see such explosive, promising stuff at the end of last year's, particularly the last 6 weeks or so. But man, football is ever changing and ever evolving, and teams go back into their labs throughout the off seasons and cook up all sorts of ways to attack your quarterback who had that first flush of success. Well, what does he like to do? Where are his tendencies when he's rattled? What do you take away to make sure that he is uncomfortable, and then try and make you beat him in a way that he's not used to doing or not very good at yet? So I don't doubt Matt LaFleur. That is his task this offseason, right? To look at how teams really tried to attack Jordan Love, what they did to try and take stuff away. But at the same time, you got to also remember, I mean, some of it is just execution on the offensive side of the ball for all 11. You know, Matt always says it's not just the quarterback. It is all 11. And look no further than the Packers' drop rate this year. I mean, to put it, not to put too fine a point on it, but catch the fucking ball, man. You know, start doing that. It'll look a little different. Joe, what's up? Packers outscored 102-39 in the first half in 6 losses to Lions, Vikings, and Eagles. They had a real chance to win 5 of them. Thoughts? I mean, it's nothing we haven't talked about all year. The slow starts have killed them all throughout 2024 and did so again last night. You know, we've talked about getting Josh Jacobs going. We've talked about getting Jordan Love in a rhythm early. And you can talk about it till the cows come home. But until you produce and execute in that regard, you're going to see all these similar results. I mean, obviously the Eagles aren't part of this, but the Lions and Vikings, that's something that you can absolutely put money on. Matt LaFleur and his staff taking, you talk about deep dives, extra deep dives into what their opponents in the division are doing, because a number one next year, the goal has got to be winning the division, not just competing, winning the division. And of course that begins with winning your home division games. Getting swept at home by the division, that is unacceptable. You want to talk, people want to talk about accountability and what's acceptable or not acceptable. Man, that is a black mark on Matt LaFleur's resume. And I don't think, you know, Matt LaFleur should be fired or anything like that, but that's something where next year, that has got to change. That is job number one. Protect your house against the division and then go win the fucking division. Ed, what's up? Oh, similar topic here. Getting swept by the Lions and Vikings plus losing to the Bears kind of puts a damper on an 11-win season. Of course we want more, but a lot of us know that it could be a lot worse. It could be, but Ed, as I was just saying, I won't belabor it, but 100 billion percent got to win the division. That is the requisite requirement for 2025. Dustin, what's up? Hot takes? Hot takes? Not on the internet. No way. But yeah, it was on fire last night and most of the morning. Thanks for keeping people off the ledge. Dustin, man, I can only do what I can do. Hope you're doing well. Jeff, what's up? After watching 2 more gaffes, have had enough of Bisaccia. Pains me to watch us F around with the kickoff, both receiving and kicking. Just put the ball in the 30. Love your work as always. Well, Jeff, yes, I would also love to just put the ball in the 30, but the other team plays as well, and they were kicking it short of the goal line, forcing a return on purpose. That's not on Bisaccia. Hold on to the ball. You know, I mean, at some point, the player has to execute. And I think that's why you kind of saw what, you know, you saw what you saw from Nixon today in the locker room. Like, I'm done with that. He knows that is not his game. You know, they want him returning the ball. Opponents want him returning the ball. I mean, yes, you would like better returns. And Bisaccia can gin some, you know, return protection up. But at some point, the player's got to play and they got to execute. I don't put that on Bisaccia. Mimsy, what's up? Ultimately, that game was a microcosm of the entire season. Janky offense, mid QB play, ascending defense, lots of mistakes. They had 0 wins as underdogs. Yeah, the lack of kind of rising up and overcoming adversity was noticeable. Of that, you are absolutely spot on. JP, what's going on, man? We are close. It's been said a million times, but this team seems like they are just a year away. Don't understand the doomsayers. Think it will be a Zoom meeting offseason circa 2020 for Love and Matt LaFleur? Well, no, it can't be. They're not allowed because of the collective bargaining agreement. Once they go their separate ways here at the end of the season, you know, there has to be a clean cut, and the coaching staff is not allowed to have contact with the players until they're back in the room for the start of the offseason program. So unless they're sticking around to rehab injuries or something like that, but even then there are rules. So yeah, no, there won't be any Zooming going on until the guys are back in the building. Janice, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate you. It was disappointing, end, but I am still very excited about our future, unlike previous years. This team is moving forward, and wow, is our future bright with defense, leaps and bounds better, money to spend, let's go. Look at Janice coming in here being a beacon of light and positivity. Appreciate you, Janice. Sean Rouse. Think back week 1. I didn't sleep that weekend. I'm thankful Love was able to play this season. I love this team so much. I'm going to go lay down now. I mean, Sean, you're not wrong there. I do remember being back in my hotel room in Brazil thinking, well, there goes that season, because I thought Jordan Love was done for the year. So the fact that we're even here after a playoff game, that Jordan Love played in, pretty insane. No question about it. Jeff Smith, how are you? Do not think I would ever say this year, but after watching injuries at wide receiver yesterday and last week, the wide receiver room probably needs a makeover. Jeff, I don't know if I agree with the makeover idea. I think it needs an addition or two. Let's put it that way. I didn't think before Watson went down with the injury that he did with the ACL that that would be the case, but to see that against the Bears and then to watch Dobbs and Reed go down last night, and it's hard not to say it, I do think there'll be at least one addition, if not two, this offseason. Now, as per usual, I wouldn't expect to be in the first round, and I'm sure Packers fans will riot, but I do think they'll add. Maybe even in free agency, though. Yeah, that's not probable. Let's put it that way. Craig Brockmiller, what's up, man? Thanks, Nags. Love your content. You provide such great counterpoint to the emotional gut reactions from much of the fan base. People just don't want to be circumspect in their fanaticism. Please don't change. I won't change, brother. I'm too set in my ways. I'm too old. I'm too stubborn. It took too long to reconcile my nature to forego it on anyone else's account, as Russ Cole once famously said. Janice, thanks again. Biggest issue was the offense, no play action. Why? I think Love still is hurt based on his comments after the game about his knee. Did you see that Tom S. quote from receiver, can't speak to Jordan Matt about being open? Thoughts? The Silverstein quote. I wouldn't put too much stock into that. I did see Jordan's comments about still somewhat dealing with some discomfort. I do think Jordan did play through a whole bunch this year that we'll probably never know about. I do think it affected him, but I also know that once you step between the white lines and put yourself on tape, that is what you're judged on. And if you are out there, that is what your resume is. And this is what I said. I mean, I'm not changing my tune here. This is what I said when Rodgers broke his thumb, you know, a couple years ago there in London, and he continued to play through it. And then he talked about his broken thumb and everyone's like, well, now that makes sense. Well, yeah, but you're still out there. You're still playing. You're still judged on it. And so Jordan, yeah, probably dealing with injuries, but that is part of being in the NFL. And if you are stepping between the white lines, that is your resume. Everyone's hurt. Everyone's dealing with something. So I don't doubt, like I said, I don't doubt he was dealing with something, but it's not anywhere near an excuse. Don Vito, what's up? Jair, yeah, he gone. I think you're correct, sir. Jeff, thanks again. Big picture, thrilled we have transitioned from a Hall of Fame quarterback to a team that has made playoffs 2 years in a row. We did not fall into the abyss. Go Pack, go. Jeff, you'd never know it, judging by the comments online. But yes, I'm with you. It's pretty incredible. Do, how are you? Do you think Godwin is a more reasonable option for Green Bay in the wide receiver free agency? Go Pack, go from Brazil. I mean, it depends on his health, right? Let's get to the offseason and see where he is in rehab. As far as I haven't read anything as far as when he'll be able to get back out on the field again, let alone be available to, you know, play in an NFL game. But do I think that's a possibility? All depends on the contract, right? I'd be surprised, but I've been surprised before. Mimsy, how are you? The Toyota-thon law of averages really snake bit us. We could have used a Lexus December to remember. His accuracy and pocket presence was very shaky. Yes, that is one of the things that you have to think they're going to work on this offseason. Both he and his, you know, private QB instructor that he works with every year out in California. And once he gets back in the building, the offseason program, Clements or whoever is at quarterback's coach. It is. So the pocket thing was very noticeable. Now, some of it was, you know, shaky protection at times. The offensive line definitely did not play up to its standard over the course of the last month or so. But yes, the navigating of the pocket and just the pocket presence in general is something they have to work on. Sharif, thanks to the Super Chat. Thanks for your calming influence. What happened to Hopper? LVN, a swing and a miss. Which five starters would you say goodbye to if you were the GM? Which five starters? I don't know if there are five starters I would say goodbye to. I think there are a number of free agents in line to leave the building, whether you're talking about Josh Myers or Eric Stokes, etc. Speaking of which, I did a whole 10-minute fucking video about free agency and about who I thought they would keep and let go. And I got it done. I downloaded it, and it was totally silent. 10 minutes of me just doing this. So hopefully I'll have that video for you guys tomorrow, because I haven't had time to redo it today. So I apologize for that. What happened to Hopper? He just never got on the field. As far as LVN, a swing and a miss, I'm not quite ready to say that yet, but next year is a referendum. Let's put it that way. Ryan, thanks again, man. The team president shouldn't be like Jerry Jones. The new team president should be like Harlan, who gave Wolf control over the team. I'm very fascinated to see how that transpires, Ryan. I don't have a preference, honestly. When Murphy first made the change, I will admit I was very much one of those old heads who said, well, you know, Wolf came in here and made it the way he made it all those years ago, and they've been very successful doing it this way, and why would you break it up, etc. But given how they've operated now over the X number of years since Murphy made the change, with Matt, Brian, and Russ all reporting to Mark, Mark hasn't been meddling. It's not like Mark has been Jerry Jones. It's not like he's making the draft picks. It's not like he's doing radio shows every week, you know? I don't know, man. I get what you're saying, and I wouldn't be adverse to it if the news came out. If, say, Ed Policy, when he takes over, says Brian Gutekunst is now the general manager and everyone else reports to him, etc. That's the way it's going to be. You know, I wouldn't be mad at it. But I don't think, you know, especially in the modern NFL, lots of teams operate this way. The Packers have shown they can operate this way at a pretty damn high level. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It is something that is going to be interesting to watch whenever, you know, that first kind of press conference for Policy happens, no doubt. Mimsy, thanks again. We need a first-round draft / timeout challenge special. Big Mike, specialist, Big Mike, Mimsy. What are you out here for? Like, throwing me off when could you imagine McCarthy as a timeout specialist? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Larry, any word on injuries? Nothing that I've seen today, Larry, other than I know Josh Myers said he thinks he got lucky as far as it being a hairline fracture and nothing too much more serious than that. Everything else, I would suspect we'll start to get answers either overnight tonight or during Matt LaFleur's end of season press conference tomorrow morning. So be on the lookout there. Sea biscuits and gravy. What's going on? Thanks for the super chat. To fellow Packer fans and this chat, can we please stop with the short-sighted, numbskull take of Fire LaFleur? He ranks top 15 in head coaches win percentage of all time, top 5 of current head coaches. Who would you replace with? I'm sure those folks could provide you with a long, lengthy list, Seabiscuits and gravy, probably with, you know, John Gruden at the top of it, but I thank you for your sanity. Sharif, thanks for joining the Care of the G Club. Appreciate the support. Really, really appreciate it, man. Jeff. Soder sees the promise that is Sean Clifford. All right, guys, can we keep the Clifford truthism to the happy hour, please? We're going to have all night tomorrow night talk about Sean Clifford. I don't need it in the chat. Come on now. Corey Krenz, how are you? Hey, Nags, do we still go with LVN and Gary or make a trade for Crosby? Also, has Josh Myers played his last down in Green Bay? Corey, I suspect that last part is true. That's just guesswork on my part, but I'd be surprised if Josh is back. A trade for Crosby feels a bit rich for the Packers' blood, but I'm not going to completely rule it out. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I'd be very surprised. Let's put it that way. Mimsy, what's up? Are we really going to root for Detroit? Never Minnesota. Oh, I ain't rooting for Detroit. Your mileage may vary, but I ain't rooting for any of my division rivals. But man, like I said earlier, tonight is a big one. I need the Rams to win this game. Need it. Like I need water or air to breathe. Need it. Go Pack, how are you? Calm down a bit from yesterday, but need love to figure out his standard dropback game. If not, bad news. We need one or two more blue chips. Yes, he does. I saw the stats, and there's no doubt about it. He needs to improve there. His receivers could help him by catching the football. His offensive line could help by keeping him upright and allowing him to throw in rhythm on some of those plays. Takes all 11. But yes, he needs to produce much better in those situations. No question about it. Maximilian, what's up? Seeing cornerback, wide receiver, and edge as needs, but what about middle linebacker? I'd be surprised if they went there in any kind of really, you know, hard after it kind of way after drafting Edger and Cooper, and they still have Quay Walker. I do think they could utilize a bump in the talent floor, as it were, in that room, but they still have, you know, Hopper sitting out there. Who knows what he can do? I don't know. I don't see them going hard after middle linebacker. Soder, what's up? Matt LaFleur worked with Derrick Henry in 2018. How can he not understand how to mesh power runs and passing? Got a okay production from Mariota and Gabbert. I mean, look, the funny part about that is I remember when he was hired off of that gig and people said he didn't use Derrick Henry right. You know, he sure seemed to know what to do with Josh Jacobs. Now, that's what this offseason is going to be all about, though. That is undoubtedly going to be the focus for Matt LaFleur and the offensive staff. Oh, God, here we go. Craven. Now, like, did we determine last night this is Wildy's burner account, right? Rob Domofsky, spelled incorrectly, is the Emperor. Jason Wildy is Luke Skywalker. And Bill Huber is Jar Jar Binks. You know, Jar Jar Binks is a very important figure in the history of Star Wars. So you have just given Bill Huber very important status. Andrew Ware, what's up? 10's still my dude. Only hate one of the INTs. Yeah, the one I hate is the one up the right sideline. That Slay comes down with. I mean, Slay makes an amazing play. Don't get it twisted. But Wicks has him by a step. If you can just put the ball out in front of him, that's a big play for the Packers. I'm with you on that. Simatovich, Matthew Golden, your early 2025 draft crush? Go Pack, go. No, I just saw that he declared. He just seems like a Packer. Just seems to be born to be a Packers receiver. I got to see the RAS, like I kind of joked about on Twitter. But, yeah, I think he's in play. Definitely think he's in play. Probably going to be a top 50 pick. I think the Packers might pull the trigger if he reaches down there in the second round, but we'll see. Crash, what's going on? Not as painful as years past, mostly because this team told us who they were all year. Thanks for a great year, Nags, and everyone at Cheesehead TV. Go Pack, go. Yeah, Crash, that is the thing. The moment that fumble happened on the first play of the game, you were like, oh, they're still the 2024 Packers. That's certainly cast a pall over the rest of the evening. Hi, Powered. What's going on, man? Can you see the Packers trading their first-round pick for a premium player such as Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, or Joey Bosa, etc.? Man, I don't know about Joey Bosa or Myles Garrett. Max Crosby, maybe. Again, very, very slim chance, but I'm not going to say it's impossible. I still would be pretty surprised if they went that route, though. William James, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Do you think that the first three Goody drafts that weren't very good made this rebuild retool longer? Random Packer, Nate Wayne. Possibly, yeah. If you hit on more of those guys, you certainly probably have a better, deeper core than you do right now. But you also have a pretty damn good squad and roster because of the last three drafts. Now, this year's draft, a lot still up in the air. Obviously, a lot of injuries that they've been dealing with, but I mean, the core of this group has come out of the 2022 and 2023 drafts, you know? But yeah, it couldn't have hurt, especially when it comes to depth and the core, right? Certainly. Mimsy, what's up, man? Our O-line could use a better D-line to drill against. Well, that's the funny part. Remember in the summer? I don't know if you do, but the defensive line was taking it to the offensive line almost every practice. They whoop their ass day in and day out. That's why it's so mind-blowing to see how it kind of transpired throughout this year. Ryan, thank you for the super sticker. Appreciate the support. Truly. Ed, thanks for the super chat. Injuries? How about the injury to our collective Packer heart now that the season is done? Oh. That's very sweet. All right, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you guys enough for hanging out another, 45 minutes today. You guys had a lot to talk about. I really appreciate it. I'll be here all week, all off season, just getting started. I'll have free agency videos. We're going to get draft content going. Obviously, big game tonight. Need those Rams to come through so we can, you know, make sure that the Vikings do not last one step longer than the Packers in the playoffs. In the meantime, please hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.